Our first scripture reading from the Hebrew Testament, from the prophet Malachi, the third chapter, the first four verses. Look, I'm sending my messenger on ahead to clear the way for me. Suddenly, out of the blue, the leader you've been looking for will enter his temple. Yes, the messenger of the covenant, the one you've been waiting for. Look, he's on his way. A message from the mouth of God of the angel armies. But who will be able to stand up to that coming? Who can survive his appearance? He'll be like white hot fire from the smelter's furnace. He'll be like the strongest lye soap at the laundry. He'll take his place as a refiner of silver, as a cleanser of dirty clothes. He'll scrub the Levite priests clean, refine them like gold and silver until they're fit for God, fit to present offerings of righteousness. Then and only then will Judah and Jerusalem be fit and pleasing to God, as they used to be in the years long ago. And then we move to the New Testament, to the Gospel according to John, chapter 3, the first 8 verses. And the title here is so interesting. It's called Born from Above. I seem to tell you every week, this isn't part of the original scripture. It was given through the ages as a summary of what follows. This one is Born from Above. There was a man of the Pharisee sect, Nicodemus, a prominent leader among the Jews. And late one night he visited Jesus and said, "Rabbi, we all know you're a teacher straight from God. No one could do all the God-pointing, God-revealing acts you do if God weren't in on it." Jesus said, "You're absolutely right. Take it from me. Unless a person is born from above, it's not possible to see what I'm pointing to God's kingdom." "How can anyone," said Nicodemus, "be born who has already been born and grown up? You can't re-enter your mother's womb and be born again. What are you saying with this born from above talk?" Do you notice that Nicodemus is already a bit disgusted? "I honored this prophet from Galilee to come and talk to him, and now he comes with all these stories." Jesus said, right back at him, "You're not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits to this original creation, the wind hovering over the water creation, the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into a new life, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom." When you look at a baby, it's just that, a body you can look at and touch. But the person who takes shape within is formed by something you can't see and touch, the Spirit, and becomes a living spirit. So don't be so surprised when I tell you that you have to be born from above, out of this world, so to speak. You know well enough how the wind blows this way and that. You hear it rustling through the trees, but you have no idea where it comes from or where it's headed next. That's the way it is with everyone born from above, by the wind of God, the Spirit of God. Here ends the reading of Scripture. May it be that you and I be able this morning to look through the time glass of the ages, knowing under which circumstances these texts were first written, to somehow, for our coming 2010, get something to hold on, to strengthen us from the inside, and to make the road just a little bit clearer ahead. May it be this morning. My friends, there was a small jazz club in New Orleans. Now, this must have happened before Hurricane Katrina, because I've known this story for some time, and whether the jazz club is still there, I don't know, but it's told for the truth that in a corner of that jazz club sat an old piano, and it was indeed an old piano in a deplorable condition. So when the jazz artists came to play in the little club, they kept complaining about this antiquated instrument. And piano players dreaded playing on this specific piano. And even the vocalists dreaded singing with it. So you know how it goes. The chorus grew all louder and louder. And finally the owner of the club said, okay, I'll have to do something about it. And so he did. You know what he did? He had the old piano painted. There's a story there. Because many people are like that club owner. They realize that there's something amiss in their lives. They realize that their lives are in a sad, a broken, and an unhappy condition. They come to the realization that with all my religion, I am without spiritual power and faith deep inside. What does people do? How? What? Well, often they attempt a superficial, shallow makeover just on the surface. You know, like painting the piano. Does that change anything? Sadly, nothing really changes. And I think this is very important. This is something to understand. Being a Christian, having faith in God, following Jesus, is not and should never be like a fresh coat of exterior paint for a deeply unhappy existence and deteriorating quality of life. Nicodemus was a church leader in the time of Jesus. And we come to the conclusion that he was so acutely aware that there was something missing in his life. So he decided to do this thing in the night. He heard about the man from Galilee, the prophet from Galilee. And the Bible says that he secretly visited with Jesus. Now, we can speculate why. Why would a learned Pharisee go in the middle of the night? Well, of course he had to go in the middle of the night because he would have been humiliated to admit that he, as one of the big ministers, the rabbis, that he went secretly in the night to speak with this popular prophet, not popular in the temple, as we all know. Could have something to do with he wanted to just check him out. Or could it be that he was seeking to fill a certain emptiness in his life? He's seeking to hear something of real value, the life-giving words that will show the way to a better and a fuller life. Maybe he just wanted more. He had a religion, but he wanted more. You ever felt that way? If you ever discovered that your needs are not satisfied. You need more, that you want more. Have you ever secretly wondered, how would it be if I could have a midnight visit with Jesus? Maybe then Jesus would reveal to me the secret of true life, a better life. Now, of course, this is all to do with sensing and responding to God's presence in our lives. Because isn't that, after all, why we're here? Because we believe in God. Or some of us wish we could believe just a little bit more and deeper. Could it be that people who've tried so many other things in life finally reach a point where they say, well, I'm going to give organized religion a chance? And you know, there's many people who don't believe in organized religion anymore. I spoke to one of them just in the past few days. We had a wonderful discussion. It was a great discussion. But that was his basic premise. Organized religion, who needs that? You know, and I thought long and hard, how do I respond to this guy? And then afterwards, I started thinking about this. What are people still coming for? Are they coming just to celebrate, just to be with friends, or do they come with that deep want, that need, that desire? Perhaps today, I will truly sense that God is speaking to me. That's another topic. Sensing and responding to God's presence in our lives is simply experience that you have to go through yourself. You cannot borrow it from anyone else. True faith, without encountering the reality of God in our lives, cannot be. There's no such thing. It's nothing but a myth. May I say it again? True faith, without encountering the reality of God in our lives, is nothing but a myth. Of course, we know how it goes. There are many what we would call second-hand Christians. Now, this wasn't attached to any specific experience or a period in their lives. Many of them have simply inherited it from their families. Since they were little, they were taken to church. They were sharing in the religious life of the community. And they sort of went along with it. And it remained second-hand. It never became a first-hand experience. So we could say they've inherited from their families. But the problem is that you cannot inherit faith, because it's a matter of a person to person. Borrowed it from their friends, like some people do, doesn't work. It's not direct. Married a God-fearing person, many did, and discovered later, well, I have the best wife or the best husband in the world, and I wish I was like them, but it doesn't seem to rub off. I haven't had that same type of personal experience. Some people simply take religion over like the cut of their clothes from the fashion of their group. What is it then? Sincere faith is a personal experience between God and me. Sincere faith is a personal experience between God and you. Have you had that experience? Then Jesus confronted Nicodemus with the sad truth. I think Jesus summed him up. And when he heard the dumb questions that Nicodemus was asking, do I have to go back into my mother's womb and similar questions? Jesus said, I love this translation. You're not listening. Nicodemus, you're not listening to me. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits to the original creation, the wind hovering over the water creation, the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into a new life, it's not possible, Nicodemus, to enter God's kingdom. Literally the words of Jesus. When you look at a baby, said Jesus, it's just that. A body that you can look at and touch. But the person within, it's not visible yet. It's formed by something you can't see and touch. Jesus calls it the Spirit. And eventually it becomes a living spirit. You look at the dear sweet baby. And so often we as grandparents and parents say, oh God, take root in this little life. Let him or her grow up like I had the privilege to, or something like that. Nicodemus, do you now understand? Are you listening, Nicodemus? There's one incident in a movie that surely touched and changed me many years ago. And many of you see and have seen and like the movie Dances with Wolves, the character played by Kevin Costner. And there is a scene, a specific scene, where he stares in disgust over the piles of dead meat left to rot on the prairie. The so-called hunters that came, took the skins, killed the buffalo, took the skins to sell for profit. They weren't interested in the meat, and they left a sad and finally a stinking scene behind. And that experience brings so much resentment in his heart that he finally rejects his old self and the culture that he was accustomed to. He was also a soldier, in favor of the insights, the lifestyle and the culture of the tribespeople whom he befriended. And the critical moment, there's a moving scene where he trades his soldier's uniform for the noble clothing of the tribe who took him in and cared for him after he was wounded. And in the process, he exchanged uniforms and thus adopted the spirituality, the culture, and the habits. Sometimes that's what it takes. One has to come to a moment when you realize I need something more. I need something nobler. I need something better. Jesus lived, demonstrated, and taught the principles that governs God's kingdom. That's the message of Scripture. When you and I stop, listen, and follow, a powerful inner change will take place deep within us. In a profound spiritual way, we learn how to discard the old uniform and the culture of selfishness, and how to reach for new clothing, which means a radical change in our attitude, in our thinking, and in our doing. All boils down to this. Stop painting the piano. Go deeper. You can never go too deep for God. Sincerely seek God's presence in your life. It's the invisible, said Jesus, moving the visible. Is that invisible power in your and my life moving the visible? Believe, reach out, accept the truth, and begin over again. I wonder if Nicodemus really did. I don't think so. Because if he did, we would have heard of him again in the Bible. And truth is, we never hear from him again. It's as if he was swallowed up by the darkness. So close to the presence of Jesus, just to disappear and we never hear from him again. And maybe that's the assurance that we came for and that we're about to enjoy the celebration of the presence of God. Once again, God's table has been prepared for us. We are about to be served with the tokens of forgiveness and acceptance. Open your heart. Open your life. Open yourself to God's presence today. And I guarantee you, my life and your life will never be the same again. Amen.